Okay. I hereby call the meeting of the Committee on Appointments to order. It is, time-wise, anybody have that? 4:08 p.m. on Monday, the 25th of July. We have a quorum in the presence of Legislator Nona and Legislator Myers. We are taking things out of order because it is our privilege to so do. And we're beginning with Mr. Joseph Bova. And as is always fun to find out, why do you want to do this job?
Probably the question I get asked for everything I've done in public life since I started it. But I think I would bring a good mix of being a previous business owner. As you can see from my resume, I owned my own pharmacy in Dobbs Ferry close to 30 years. And, of course, a consumer. So bringing my insight into that and also into healthcare, I think I could contribute to the work of the committee.
In another committee, we discussed with an individual who came to testify who was involved in applying pesticides to consumers' property, but who had protested and actually won a citation by the Consumer Affairs Department that because he didn't have a business license, he was subject to fine, because all consumer-related businesses are supposed to have a license so that they can be managed. And his point was that the state of New York Department of Environmental Conservation licensed him and supervised his business. Therefore, he should not be involved. Where would you come down on that?
Well, in my role as a member of the Board of Pharmacy, we deal with layers of government in many different areas, and we run up against federal issues that may be in step or out of step with local and state laws. And it's clear to us that whenever there's a layer that could be stricter, then that agency would be the regulatory agency that would control that. So in this case, it would sound to me like the state issues a blanket authority, but if there's a local authority, whether it's the county or the village, that also is under the control of that profession, then that person needs to comply with those rules and regulations in addition to whatever state agencies are involved.
Well, on two counts. First of all, you've thought about it, and secondly, you explained it coherently. I have no further questions. Mr. Nona.
Are you familiar with the doctrine of preemption?
Actually, I just began a master's course in pharmacy school where I teach, and I'm also the director of continuing education on FDA, FDA law and preemption, where a federal agency may preempt a state agency.
Ba-bam-bam.
Do you deal with, also some of those, some of the Medicaid and Medicare requirements for pharmacy can tend to be very complex, too.
Both from the regulatory point of view.
And how they interact with state law as well.
That's, unfortunately, in the Medicaid arena, in the last few years, the Office of Medicaid Investigator General has really come down hard on legitimate providers, not only pharmacists, but hospitals and mental health care facilities, in the attempt to try to meet a federal goal of $1.5 billion award. It's called F-sharp. If the state is able to recoup that goal, that amount of money, they get $1.5 billion from the feds. So the soon-to-be-replaced director of OMIG has really come down hard on legitimate providers. And that's when the area gets a little fuzzy, because in my opinion, the Board of Pharmacy should regulate the practice of the profession. And OMIG has basically come in and said, well, if we're paying the bill, we should tell you how to practice the profession. Well, if you're paying the bill, you have a right to do certain things. But when we have too many people telling professionals what to do, it gets very confusing. And that's something that people need to sit back that have the authority to say, okay, OMIG, this is what you do. And
who do you listen to?
Because the profession goes crazy. They don't know who to listen to.
Yeah,
and then they try to comply with everybody, and no one gets a prescription filled.
There have been several occasions where we have passed, the county has passed laws to regulate certain drugs and other things ahead of the ahead of the state, because sometimes it takes longer to get things done in the state and the federal government. So we did that with the cough medicines while I was here, and
right before you came, I think we did this whole Sudafed And then the state did it, where you had to have those behind the counter.
And the bath salts are next.
Yeah, the state did that already. Cuomo signed something on the salts, and that was we would probably look at that.
Mm-hmm. One of the issues we have, pardon me for interrupting, is the fact that many of these things are sold everywhere.
Yeah, not just in pharmacies, not just pharmacies,
so
right?
Unless we can create what's called a third class of drugs sold only under the supervision of pharmacists,
yeah,
a lot of these things are going to be hard to really enforce.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you. I have no problem.
What is the Westchester County, what is the steering subcommittee for the Westchester County Health Department?
When County Executive Astorino was elected, I was asked to serve on the transition team, and I was on the health subcommittee, where we reviewed the workings of the committee, looking at ways to perhaps consolidate, see how everything was going. I had a particular position that I interviewed to see what her role was, and that was the steering committee's role, to try to come up with ideas perhaps to make government more efficient in the health care committee.
In the health department?
Health department, excuse me.
And so who did you interview?
I just
Yang.
Remember.
Yang?
No.
Yang?
Wang.
Yang. Mm.
Ada Wang.
Oh, Ada Wang.
Ada
okay.
Wang, who turns out to be the wife of David Kenigsberg,
yes,
who was a village trustee when I was mayor.
Yes, oh, that's so funny.
And I didn't realize it until after the meeting. And she was looking at me, wondering, she didn't say anything to me.
That's so
funny. And I found that afterwards.
Yeah, that's
she
so funny.
She lives in Dobbs Ferry also.
Yes, she does, yeah.
And now I know her, I remember your name, Mayor of Dobbs Ferry.
Yeah.
For what period of time?
I was trustee from 2000 to 2007 and mayor to 2009.
And then you had the wisdom to give it up.
Yes. 2000.
5 to 7, according to your resume, 5 to 7. Right.
Five to seven.
And 2000 to 2005 is trustee. Yeah. Well, I think it's very helpful to have I don't think there's any other pharmacists on this consumer board, but I think some of the consumer consumer affairs work involves regulation of drugs, and I think it'd be
very
helpful.
For our consumer affairs department?
Oh, it's the health department that does. They do the regulation.
Well, the consumer affairs group, that's weights and measures.
Right.
And so they, although I think they're actually, in terms of consolidation, I know that I'm on the Board of Health, and there has been some speculation about the possibility of looking at possibly a consolidation of consumer affairs and the Department of Health, because there are some areas that overlap.
Yeah.
Going to visit gas stations, for instance.
Well, for instance, our federal law, was that enforced by the Consumer Affairs Department or the Health Department?
Which federal law?
Our federal, when we passed the law in Ephedra.
That was not Health Department.
I thought it was Consumer Affairs that would then have to go
affairs,
in.
Consumer Affairs, yeah.
And the same thing is true.
Actually, you know who does all of that is, I think it's done in, it's Consumer Affairs with the DA.
Because it's federal now.
Yeah.
Well, because there might be a crime involved,
it is.
Too. But
And they do all the ATUPA stuff, the tobacco, and they do the sting operations, and they will utilize...
Well, that's what the DA.
Yeah, they do use Department of Health people for that, too.
Huh.
And they will...
So it's a combined...
So there's a lot of potential overlap.
Well, still think it helps to have a pharmacist.
Oh, I think it would, too.
Board.
And I think, you know, I mean, one of the areas that is getting highlighted more and more is a lot of the prescription drug usage by teens, adolescents who are...
Yeah, the fishing, it's called fishing and farming, where they throw everything into a big bowl and pull their friends over and take all kinds of drugs, not just control drugs.
No, yeah.
That's why I think we need to make a push to have more pharmacists involved in the destruction of control drugs.
Well, that's another area, and that comes up a lot in the Department of Environmental Facilities, where they're working with wastewater treatment, is you can't have this stuff flushed down toilets, and that's a huge problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, the DEA is holding the reins pretty tight on only allowing pharmacists to be involved when law enforcement is there, which kind of makes sense, but almost doesn't, because you're going to trust me to dispense the drugs.
Yeah,
you're not
right,
trust
but
me
not
to take
it back
and have them destroyed.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make
that's
sense.
Doesn't seem any great distinction.
No, I think a pharmacist would be great.
In several years ago, when the whole issue of Plan B emergency contraception came up. There was a substantial issue about a exemption on the part of pharmacists to be able to say, for religious or whatever ethical reasons I have, I choose not to dispense that product. And it's my understanding that the state came down rather hard and said that you do not have a choice in this matter. If you've got a pharmacist license, you will dispense all legitimate drugs. Am I correct in approximately
that? Well, not exactly.
Good.
There's still an opinion by the Board of Pharmacy that a pharmacist may object to provide a service under certain conditions that do everything but abandon a patient. For instance, a patient presents a prescription for an oral contraceptive, and you work in a pharmacy that has two or three pharmacists, but you have a problem dispensing that. You can't tell a patient, we can't fill that prescription here, but you certainly can pass it on to the next person on the bench who may say, mm-hmm. could you take care of this for me? Or if there's an issue where you're the only pharmacist in an area and the patient comes in for a refill and you have no alternative, that could be a problem, because then if you don't provide that prescription, you may be considered to be abandoning a patient. Mm-hmm. They go without the medication. So the Board of Pharmacy has been pretty clear that a pharmacist has just as much of a right to refuse to do something under moral objection as a nurse or a physician, providing that the patient doesn't get abandoned. That Plan B is a little bit different because that's sold without a prescription for patients that are 16 and older. That's held behind the counter, that so-called third class of drugs. That could be one of them that would be included in that. I don't know of any initiatives in the county that forced all pharmacists to carry this. There were some initiatives in the city that asked pharmacists to put up a sign if they didn't carry Plan B. Hmm. And that wasn't accepted too widely by the pharmacy community. So they would put up a sign, we do not carry Plan B. Yeah. But I think you don't want to look at it from a local point of view, but with the number of pharmacies there are in Westchester County, it shouldn't be difficult for anyone who needs a service to get a service. Mm-hmm.
Well, since you can see a CVS on almost every
I mean, the number of independent corner. Pharmacies are shrinking. We used to have four in Dobbs Ferry, we're down to two. But there are still over 200 places where people can get medications. Hmm.
Would you envision a situation where the board that you're about to serve on would take a role in this if things got squeezed to the point where it's CVS or Walgreens or nobody, and there were situations where the small pharmacies were, for whatever reason, began to have these problems of requiring exemptions, where you'd see a role for yourself or a role for the board?
I think access is always an issue, whether it's a drug to deal with pregnancy or just for hypertension. Access is always a big concern from both the provider's point of view and from the public health protection point of view. So I think at the end of the day, we need to look at the best we can do to make sure patients get the care they need. Whether it's something that I object to as a pharmacist or a doctor or a nurse, as long as there are alternatives. And perhaps a better analogy would be the RU486 drug. Because the active ingredients in Plan B really don't act as an abortifacient like the ones in RU486. Mm. So if that were ever to hit the market in the United States, I think you would see a larger number of healthcare professionals that would refuse to deal with that. And that, then you'd have to see, what would the boards of pharmacy then do? Would they, because it's a prescription drug. So, and clearly that's how it works. It aborts the fetus. So that would become a more hot button issue than Plan B, I would think. Mm. But I think to get back to your question, I think the Consumer Affairs Board would have some discussion about that and at least give an advisory opinion about it, whether they could actually have any authority to make people do something. That becomes a different issue, and that becomes the preemption issue.
This is terrific. I think you're going to be a terrific addition to this, and I appreciate your candor and your coming early, actually, in the cycle.
Yeah, thank
it bodes well for your participation.
Okay,
thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Nice to meet you.
Good meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to see you from Lady from Brussels.
Yes. Having you on the dream.
Okay. I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, can we take a quick look at the minutes? while Melanie goes out and sees if she can find somebody else for us to interview.
Yeah, he was here way ahead of time.
That's right.
He had called to see if he could come earlier, so I told him to come to replace the 14th.
Alan Dillon.
Yeah, I've forgotten. I remember. I'm trying to remember what I remember him for.
Novika Perpala.
But he's terrific.
And
well, Emil Migro is.
Britta Vanderlinden. I remember her.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. The other one.
Yeah.
That was a reappointment.
Mm-hmm. No interview. Right.
John Fix. Yeah, he wasn't here.
Yeah, I will move. The minutes.
Second.
Of July 18th.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have two more. Mark Rubio, who I know, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, he's airport advisory.
Yeah, he's on the town board of Mount Pleasant. Okay.
I just was wondering if we want to make sure we have more geographical representation. I'm beginning to wonder if we need to look at where people are from.
I'm sorry, more?
Wide geographic representation.
Is there an issue that you're aware of?
I just wonder if we perhaps have an overabundance of people from one area of the county.
I don't know. Board for board or overall? Tom, you want
before
me?
Before you leave, Bill.
Okay.
I'm in the control room.
Where are you going to be?
Control room? Control room.
Cool. Okay. We have a lot of these things that have area representation.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
John, how are you?
How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Bill Burton,
nice to meet you, Mr. Burton. How are
Judy
you?
Nice.
Hi, Judy, how are you?
So John, what happened on the spring?
There was an accident just as I got on. And it was actually, they handled it pretty well because that help van had one of those light-up signs, which I've never seen before in the back.
Yeah.
So it gave everybody enough notice to get over, so it wasn't usually everybody fighting to get into one lane like it always is. Mm. So it wasn't too bad.
Okay.
So.
Plenty of notice.
That Bella, you should know that Judy moved and John seconded the minutes.
Right.
All that's passed unanimously.
And I signed off on Mr. Bella.
Yep, I just got to get it from Judy. Can you sign it? I think it's underneath the paper.
Right here.
I'm sorry.
No, one of them ended up in the recycle bin last week. So.
Good grab.
Thank you.
Okay. What's a politician like you?
The lawyer.
Want to do... No, he's a politician. He's a politician. He's on the town board at Mount Pleasant. What's a politician like you want to do on a board like this?
That's a great question.
I know it is.
Well,
that's also a great answer from a politician, so we'll let that ride.
Well, a couple things. I mean, it's always interested me. My father had a pilot's license. He actually just gave it up, and so I've spent a lot of time over at the airport, but mostly on the West Air side.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived in Mount Pleasant since 1976. We moved up there from Yonkers, and I grew up right on the Kensico Reservoir, so the flight pattern for the airplanes goes right over my parents' house where I grew up. So, and it's been interesting to see how over time the airport has changed so much. It's become quite a busy airport. So it's just always interested me, and it's been a tremendous opportunity to get to know how the airport works, to get to see how it can help our county's economy. We do have some citizens in Mount Pleasant that are concerned, one in particular that's concerned about the noise that the airport generates and so on and so forth. So I think all in all, it's something that's always interested me, and it gives me an additional opportunity to try and serve our constituents.
Where was your office in Austin?
I was at 30 State Street, right next to the funeral home.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the funeral home has the best view of the river on that entire street.
Except for the building you were in, because you can, from the street, see right straight through it, and you get the river.
The funeral home parking lot was good, because it was kind of elevated a little bit, and there weren't as many trees. But neat spot, though.
But you were in there, in the days when the Chamber of Commerce was there, maybe?
No. They had moved out by the time I had gotten there. So I was there with Dan Reamer and Andrea Castro.
Yeah.
So I was subleasing from them.
I see. Okay.
So.
Did you know John Travolta at all? The ran in the chamber? Okay,
no.
He was a town supervisor. He succeeded me, and he died Sunday. So.
Oh,
no.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know the name. I don't think I've ever met him. But,
yeah, John
died. I hadn't.
That's too bad.
Yeah, the wake's Thursday night, and the funeral's Friday.
Wow.
But, sorry, I didn't mean to introduce anything maudlin, but it just... I was trying to figure out where you were, but that's terrific. They're a good group. It's a good location. Okay, Mr. Nona.
Well, you know that the airport's run by basically an independent agency, and they do a very good job.
They're
good people.
They're terrific. It's been interesting to see the relationship, because I think everybody just assumes that county airport, county runs it.
Yeah.
And it's not the case. They take their job very seriously, and they have someone dedicated just for noise.
Yeah,
which has
right.
been
and someone else for the environmental stuff.
Exactly. So it's very well run. I think the county overall has done a very good job trying to strike that balance between having a busy airport, which I think is good, with noise complaints and traffic and all those things.
Yeah, that's always the issue, the balance. People, and I think a lot of the residents are somewhat torn too between the convenience, especially since AirTran and JetBlue went there, which makes it more of a an airport for vacationers and families.
Exactly.
versus the noise, mostly noise, not so much, there's not too much, although when you get close to the airport, there's some concern about traffic, and there's a big issue in North Castle now
exactly.
with the parking garage.
The automated parking garage.
Right.
It's an interesting idea.
The FAA apparently sent a letter opposing it.
Oh, really? Because it's supposedly right in the
flight pattern. Too high or something.
Interesting.
So.
Wow. Have you been to any of the advisory board meetings?
Oh, I've been to three of them.
Three.
So they called me up and said, why don't you start coming? So
yeah, that's a good idea.
So what's been your impression?
I'm really impressed. I've enjoyed it because there's a lot going on there as far as there's obviously, you have different groups here. You have the airport staff, which you have I met the noise abatement officer, and he's very good. It's the first item on the agenda always, and he gets up and explains how many people have called, how many complaints they have, and how many are actually related to the airport, because it appears that a lot of them aren't even related to the airport. You have people there from Greenwich because the flight patterns have changed, and they're doing something now called cutting a corner to save fuel, and they're upset. So you have that group. You have... Mr. Rogowski that's there, and he's been able to every once in a while he'll give us some history on the airport as far as how it's changed, and there's also information about the projects that are going on there, the de-icing system that they're working through,
Yeah, that's a big issue.
Exactly,
big
environmental.
Does Bob Funicello go to those then?
I don't think I've met him yet.
Yeah, he's an environmental lawyer that does. He's in the.
He works for the county Department of
Environmental Facilities, but he
is in charge of the airport.
Yeah.
So it mostly centers on those types of topics. We get a report of all the projects and where they are every month. This past week, actually, we had they gave us a tour of the airport. I actually didn't realize. I knew there were corporate hangars there, but I didn't realize how many.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing. You've got Pepsi. You've got IBM. You've got It's unbelievable.
Morgan Stanley.
Yeah. I guess they just built a real big one.
We just recently
approved
that lease
LEED
a while ago.
Certified.
Right, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
And then NetJets has a big operation.
Huge.
That's the other one. In fact, the gentleman, his name is Peter, that runs the
airport. Peter
Shearer. Yeah.
He was saying that NetJets, if they were a commercial airline, they'd be the second largest airline in the country.
Hmm. Really?
So, and there was an article in the New York Times, I guess, today or yesterday about parents
taking their kids
flying
for
visiting
day
at camp and taking private jets.
Sending the kids there.
And sending the kids there on private
jets.
And
shutting them too.
Yeah.
It's a long drive to Maine.
Well, this is a way of avoiding that.
That's
an expensive way of avoiding it.
There we are. Someday for all of us, I'm sure. Melanie would like to go to summer camp on private jets.
Oh, yes.
All right, it sounds to me like you're going to be really quite an addition to this thing. You've got the time, though. You're in a new law firm. You're rather busy. You're on the town board, which all of us who've served on, and we all have on previous boards know is a huge time suck. And now you're going to add this one to it. Are you going to be able to give the time?
Well, if you ask my wife, she would tell you no. Yes, I mean, I was initially concerned about that, and when I was asked if I had any interest, of course the interest was there, but it's always time because, as you know, John, and as all of you know,
exactly.
there's only so much you can do, and I have young children. But I guess compared to what my total load is, so to speak, another hour a month or 2 hours a month, when you consider reading all the materials in preparation for the meeting, It's really not bad. It's 10 minutes from my house. So it's all in. It's not really a significant effect on the amount of time that I have to expend. So.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in and doing this.
No problem. It's so nice to meet you.
Glad to meet you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Are you going to the Rotary meeting tomorrow?
I don't know. What's going on tomorrow?
My wife and I are doing a presentation on our Kilimanjaro climb. It's interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll try and make it.
Yeah.
So I have a court appearance that's a little bit up in the air.
See if you can make it. Yeah. Take care.
Nice to see you, John. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Melanie, thanks for all your help.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye now. I love it when we get good people. May I have a motion?
Yeah, he's a good guy. I'll move him. I know.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Good. See if we can find Dr. Nigro and we're in business.
I believe I saw him coming in my left corner.
We are losing. I wonder if she stepped down, though. It's Susan Lafer. She's a very active.
I know. Yeah, well, I'm sure I can see why he's not appointing her. She's a Sierra Club, very heavy Sierra Club person.
Oh, okay. So it's just the...
Does it say that she's...
Yeah, it says due to the expiration.
Yeah.
So she probably wasn't asked to come back.
Okay.
And these are all county executive appointments, right?
And as we know, county executive has the right.
Yeah.
Do we have any appointments on the to the Airport Advisory Board legislature? No.
I don't
know.
No,
I think we just have one legislator who sits on it.
Yeah, that's Marty.
However, Marty's going off. Mm. So.
Well, presumably whoever takes Marty's place would... I think it's important that the legislator from that district continue to be the representative.
Yeah, technically it is in Harrison, I think. Some of it's in my district.
Some of it's in your district. Yeah. I mean, but I think
Harrison's
it's important to have...
You know, Harrison's like Gaul now. It's been divided into three parts.
Harrison divisa es in partes tres. Which Mark Jaffe wants to represent one. Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Thank you.
I'm John Nona. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi.
Nice to
see you.
Hi, how are you? Nice to
see you.
Judy Myers.
Emily Nigro. Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. It is nice to see somebody who cut his teeth in emergency medical service in Mosling. Back?
It's been a while.
With us. Not bad.
I'm glad I'm still vertical.
Hey. Someday we will debrief Dr. Nigro on the subject of his service in this whole area, going back into the 50s.
Don't make me that old. You're killing me. No, I arrived at Phelps in 77, but you know, I had to go through college and medical school. And residency, and you know, you have to. There's a few steps along the way, but I started in 77 at Phelps, and then part time, and then full time in 79, and I've been there ever since.
And we had the glorious time of spending a night in the emergency room last Monday. What a place.
For you?
At the Phelps emergency room?
For Mary. And it was terrific.
You're not suing us, right? Is that true?
No. On the contrary.
I'm only kidding.
On the contrary.
I've been to the Phelps emergency room.
It was so terrific.
My family.
It was Monday night. It was pouring rain. There were automobile accidents to the left of you, automobile accidents to the right of you. We show up when there's a kid with a sprained ankle, and after 2 hours of there, just every once in a while dropping in to see how Mary's doing, I go out looking for the doctor, and it's a zoo. And we didn't hear a peep. It is so nice, so private, and yet so well organized. And I suspect you may have had something to do with that.
Just a little, but not, I'm not the only one. There was a lot of planning. The hard work was the planning. It was about 2.5 years of planning because we had to figure out how are we going to function, how are we going to do things. And it's very deceiving. There's 32 rooms, and they're all private rooms, and they all have TVs, and they have phones, and they have climate control. And people don't realize how busy we are. It's very busy. It's very active. And when you came in, we're about 10 days now into a new computer program that instead of writing things down in pen and paper, which still works, by the way, now we're all computerized. So the transition's been a little bumpy.
The nurse had when she would scan the after the when the order was written and then the bag showed up, she scanned that and there was a beep that came back that said there's a match. It's that new.
No beep, no medication.
Yeah, but man. Oh, that's terrific. I had no idea it was that new.
It's a patient
those of us on the east side.
Issue.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful.
But all of, and it is, it's really important, but it is time consuming. You know, there's a lot to be said for computerization of these programs, but the reality is speed is not one of them. It's not faster, but in terms
accuracy.
Of, there's some other advantages to it.
So both the nurse and the doctor were not only fully compliant, but they seemed to not just accept it, they seemed to do it. They wanted to do it. And again, that's obviously something
we
you guys
know, everybody tries. Everybody tries.
So let's put this guy on the emergency medical.
Yeah, I can't see a better match between a board and
a
person.
John's another customer, so you take off on that.
Oh, that's when my wife was climbing a ladder in order to trim trees because she's a big gardener and does everything herself. This is about 15 years ago, and I was mayor of Pleasantville then. And all of a sudden, the police come into the board meeting. It was the middle of the board meeting. Your wife fell out of the tree. She's on the ground, and actually, it was the ladder gave way. The ladder broke, and she was taking a fell. She had a broken pelvis, which she managed to survive pretty well.
That can be a big deal.
Yeah.
Pelvis.
But there's not much you can do. It's not like you put it in a cast or anything. But she had a black and blue mark that was amazing. But she's, and then my son had a broken arm in a football game. We took him there. He was tackled and he broke his arm in a football game.
Wow. Well, when you were in your crash, where did you go?
No, they took me to Westchester Medical
Center. Oh.
Boy, I'm glad this turned out okay.
Right.
I would have been grilled.
Right. We're doing well here. Okay, Judy?
No, I think, have you done anything with the county's board with emergency? I mean, obviously you've got a lot of emergency medical experience in your background and currently, but you haven't done anything with the county prior.
No, this was the first time that I was asked to join that board. I've been involved with the Westchester County EMS Council,
Regional Emergency Medical Advisory
Committee, which has to do with ambulance flow, EMTs, paramedics. I've been involved in that since for years. But nothing with the Board of Legislators or I was never asked before to join. So
how did this come about then? You're a logical choice.
I'm really not sure. Yeah. I think that the county executive and I went back a ways when he was
In the emergency room. No.
I think he interviewed me a couple of times when he was working for WFAS.
Oh.
Well, am I remembering that right?
Yeah. That's right.
There.
That's right.
And then I saw him at a few functions, and I think he kind of just put it together. There was probably an opening, and he said, why don't we ask? And I said, okay. And,
great. Our luck.
Thank you. Well, that's very kind of you.
No, it's true. I was trying to explain to somebody, to a group today that I was speaking in front of about the importance and reliance in Westchester County on volunteers and how it is a very, very integral part of what makes the county run. And I think makes this county very unique because we do have such an active volunteer base,
The fire departments and EMS probably. Mm. Could you imagine what the tax bite would be?
Oh, yeah. No. And the training they have to go through.
Of course.
In addition to the time commitment for a service, the training they have to increases every year, the amount of training.
Yeah. We have a center at Phelps called the Hoke Emergency Training Center. It was donated by the Hoke family, and it's 7,000 square feet of dedicated emergency training, and it's a very sophisticated center. And we train about 3,500 people a year from all over the world, not just the Hudson Valley, not just Westchester. We've had people from Australia, from Norway, from United Kingdom, and most recently, we've had two contingents from the country of Bhutan. Wow. And they didn't have much of an EMS system, and we're very involved in EMS. I'm the medical director of five corps that I know of. God knows that somebody else is putting my name down someplace else because they're bringing me paperwork all the time to sign. But we're very involved in EMS training, and they need a lot of training. The volunteers need a lot of support. Mm. So, you know, we're really into this. I'd love to show you, if you're ever interested in a tour, I mean, this is the real deal. This is not just a... an almost kind of center.
Yeah.
This is a very.
I have to get over there. It's in my district now. I now have Phelps in my district. So
do you?
I should. That's right.
You should. I would love to. Yeah. Let me give you my card.
Please.
And I'd love to. You know, give you a. Yeah. I hope I have a card. I'd love to give you a tour, and because especially the volunteers really need the training. Oh, we lucked out.
You have one.
I have more than one. Thank you, God. Just in case you want to take a tour.
Sure, thank you.
And I know you don't need this, but I'll give it to you anyhow.
Thanks.
And I'm going to give you one in case anybody else wants a tour of the new ER. You saw it firsthandedly. But the training center is worth taking a look at. And it's, you know, we're very proud of it. And it was and we built it with donations. And we built the emergency department with donations. So we had a lot of support in the community. So we want to give it back, especially to the volunteer sector.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And today, a lot of these volunteer organizations, they have some paid personnel.
Yeah.
But they're primarily volunteer organizations. Mm. And they're struggling. It's not easy. Husbands and wives now are both working. Trying to get these rigs out in the daytime, Monday to Friday, not easy. Croton and Hudson is having a terrible time right now, and now they've hired some EMTs for the daytime. Mm. On weekend, you have a better shot.
Yeah.
At night,
you
have a better shot. But when you're working, it's not hard. And there's a push by some organizations to have more paid staff.
Right.
So, but then eventually somebody's going to pay for that.
Exactly.
Sure.
It's going to happen. We know it.
What's going to happen?
But we're fighting.
I'd love to give you a tour. Oh, gee. Nice meeting, everybody.
Okay.
Are we
nice
done?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice thank you. Thanks for your time.
Oh, no, thanks.
And you know about John Travolta, right? John died on Sunday.
Oh, no.
The wake will be Thursday night. The funeral mass will be Friday morning at St. Teresa's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it was a stroke after the Parkinson's was just wrecking.
You know, I always associate him. The last time I spoke to him about the Charmin. You know, he was he was the man who invented the Charmin commercial. Don't squeeze the Charmin. I'm sorry to hear that. When is that again? Friday?
Be Thursday, 5 to 8 at Dorsey's in Austin. For the wake, and Friday morning at I think 11 o'clock at St. Teresa's.
Thanks for letting me know. Okay.
Thank you.
Doing good. Thank you very much.
And the man who gave his name to that campaign is Ron. George Whipple.
Oh, really? But where he saw Whipple was he was driving around Austin and he saw a mailbox that had Whipple on it.
Yeah, but they had to get
permission. Oh yeah, no. But anyway, I have a motion.
I move.
And I'll second.
Move by Mr. Nigro. Move by Mr. Turner. Second by Ms. Myers. All in favor, say aye. Motion approved. Thank you very much. Any other business before the committee?
I hope not.
Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So what happened to Jean's farm?
Did you say you moved?
For next week.
Okay.
Judy, you moved?
Yes, I'd like to.
Second by Mr. Nona. All in favor say aye.
Aye. So we keep her in this poll.
Yeah,